I do want to mention that on Sunday, there was an announcement for our upcoming Bible Quiz Bowl, and that is just a little over a month away, and there is a sign-up sheet that is back in the Welcome Center. We would love to get as many people signed up for that as possible. Amen. We, in the past, we have done this, and we are going to do it the same way that we have in the past, where there's a packet of questions that this year we're going to be going over the book of Psalms. And so you will receive a packet of questions, and those will be available this upcoming Sunday. But this is for all ages. We have three different categories, three different age categories, and it is for all ages to get involved in. There are, on that day, I'm hoping to have a lot more signed up than we currently have. I only see a few names that are back there, although I did see more signing up before service tonight. Amen. But we will have a competition or a Bible quiz bowl that will take place, and then there will be prizes that are handed out, and I think everybody's a winner if you sign up for Bible quizzing, though, because you're getting the Word of God implanted in your heart. Everybody's a winner. It's not just about the prizes that day, but that is, I just want to encourage you to get involved in that this year. Amen. You can probably already tell that we are not continuing tonight in the Uncovered series that we had been in over these past several weeks. And that is, actually, I've felt for just a little while that God wanted to move us in a different direction. And that was kind of, it was confirmed last week when God just spoke to Brother Duffy on his way here. And I had been feeling it all day that God had something else planned for us last Wednesday. And I just didn't know what it was. I wasn't sure. And so I said, all right, God, since I don't know what it is, we're just going to continue in what I've felt. And so we were all ready for our Uncovered series last week. And then Brother Duffy came into my office and he said, I feel like God spoke to me on the way here. You mind if I just share something? And I'm thankful that we just obeyed what God had for us. Amen. What an incredible move of God last Wednesday night. Amen. Thank you for just being obedient to the Word of God and responding to it. And this is no indication of how I feel about the Uncovered series, because I do believe that this is an important Bible study for us, and that we ought to pick it up and to teach it. This is a great series for somebody who is new into the church or wants to just be able to get an overview of the Bible. And so that is something that we still have back in our bookstore or cafe area, and you can pick that up. But we are going to be just taking a break from that, or I'm not sure if and when we will get back to continuing that series. But like I said, that's no indication of how I feel about it. But you don't need to see it modeled up here in order for you to teach it. You can pick it up. There is a book that is a teacher's manual, and you can teach it straight from that book. And so you don't have to see the model up here before you can teach it. You can go ahead and do that. We do have all the handouts for the remainder of those that when you purchase a Bible study series, you will get all of that, and you can go ahead and teach that to somebody. Amen. But I just felt the Lord leading us in a different direction, and just felt it confirmed this week as I was just in prayer and God was speaking to me about the direction that we ought to go. And so I'm beginning a series tonight that will extend for the next several weeks. I believe it will be 7 weeks that we will be covering this series. And this is a series that some of you have heard before. It's been taught in this church before. I don't know how many years ago, maybe even a couple times that we've taught this series. And it was taught before it was taught in this church. It was taught by another minister, another pastor, a very influential minister within our organization, a very godly man. And he's a pastor of a very powerful church Amen. Godly Church in Alexandria, Louisiana. Pastor Anthony Mangan. But even he, when he taught it, it wasn't the first time that it was being taught when he taught it, because it was his father, G.A. Mangan, that he was teaching it from. And so this series that I have tonight, I'm going to keep the same title for the series as Pastor Mangan did, which is Heaven to Earth, the Tabernacle Today. And it's how to bring heaven to earth. This is, perhaps you have called this, or we have called it in the past, praying through the tabernacle. And I believe that this series is going to be a special series for our church. It has impacted my life. When I first heard this, I went back and listened to it several times. I went back and listened to the series that was taught by Brother Mangan, and then also by Pastor Archambault, and I believe my father even taught some about the praying through the tabernacle when we have taught it here in our church. But I just see this, and I feel like this is going to be a special series for our church. One, this is going to pair with what is being taught on Sunday mornings. I just began a series this past Sunday morning on holiness. And it's, you may look at this and say, well, how does it link with that? Well, there are a lot of links to the tabernacle and holiness. The tabernacle is a very good model for us for how to live a holy life, and what it is to be separate, what it is to be distinct, to be different, to be set apart. And so it links in that way. But also, I just feel like there is a drawing right now for us as a church to get in a time of prayer, get in a place of prayer. And this past Saturday night, we gathered here and we prayed and we prepared ourselves for the service on Sunday. And we are going to gather again this Saturday for prayer. And so that will be 7 o'clock on this Saturday that we will gather together here for prayer to prepare ourselves. And so I just feel a drawing for us to get in a place, in a stature of prayer, for God to be able to do something, to do what He is getting ready to do. We need to first get in a place where God can work in us, and that God can move in us, and that is always in a posture of prayer that we need to be in order for God to work. And so, as I said before, this should be a 7-week series. If that holds true, we are going to be completing this on the week that it's going to be a special week for our church, because we will be hosting on that Friday night a youth rally, a sectional youth rally for Northeast Indiana. And so we typically have at those services 300-400 people from Northeast Indiana that will be gathered here in our church. And we have Brother David Brown, who will be coming in and speaking in that service here in our church. And so it's going to be a special week for our church, and that is on that Wednesday night we will be finishing up this series, or we ought to be finishing up this series. And so I am just looking forward to a special move of the Holy Ghost that week. And as we finish, I want us as a church to have just a special time, a special outpouring. And I'm looking forward to what God is going to do through that. Amen. If you could, let's get in our Bibles and open up to Exodus chapter 25. Exodus chapter 25, verse number 1 and number 2, says that the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel that they bring me an offering of every man that giveth it willingly with his heart. You shall take my offering. And then let's skip down to verse number 8, where it says, and let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. Think about that. God said, let them make me a sanctuary. It really was, it should have been the other way around. that the people are calling out to God, God, would you come down into a place? But God instead said, let them make me a sanctuary so I can dwell with you. So I can be there with you. God said, I want you to make a sanctuary so my abiding presence can be there and dwell among you. It says, according to all that I show thee, after the pattern of the tabernacle, in the pattern of all the instruments thereof, even so shall you make it. And then in Hebrews chapter 8, verse number 5, it says, you serve under the example in the shadow of heavenly things. As Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle, for see, saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern that was showed to you in the mount. Amen. I will be teaching over these next 7 weeks a pattern for earth. It's a pattern that is in heaven tonight. It's a pattern that is still in heaven, but it was one that was showed to Moses way back then on the mountain when he was there with God. It was a pattern that God laid down for him. He showed him this pattern for the tabernacle, and it's a pattern that it worked for them today, or them in that day, and it works for us still today. Amen. See, the Lord, he gave 40 verses to creation. 40 verses. You can read about creation, all of creation, in 40 verses. And he gave 400 verses to the tabernacle. Over 400 verses were devoted to the construction and the building and the details that go into the tabernacle. 400 verses. Two chapters that you have that are dedicated to creation. And you have 5 entire books of the Bible that are written about the tabernacle and the redemption plan that God had for the people of Israel. I think that tells us something. It tells me that I ought to pay attention to the tabernacle. That if God is going to put so much emphasis on it, if there's so much of this book right here that is devoted to this subject of the tabernacle, it's probably not something that we should just gloss over. There's a lot that we can glean from the study of the tabernacle. I believe that the tabernacle is the only building that was ever constructed upon this earth that was perfect from its beginning and its outset. It was never, there was nothing wrong with it. Every detail of it was perfect in its creation, because this was a plan that God gave to Moses, and God gave him every detail that was made, that there was to be made and to construct this tabernacle that was to be built in the wilderness. It never needed an addition. It never needed an alteration. It never needed something else, some other kind of attention that was brought to it. It was a blueprint. It was a pattern, a plan, a design that God had the specifications that were from this pattern that was up in heaven. And he said, he revealed that to Moses so that he could make this here on earth. And so every single detail was designed by God. Every part of it, even to the nuts, the bolts, the ropes, the things that were tying everything together, the staves that would go in to carry the instruments, everything. God was very detailed in it. God was very, everything it has every article of furniture, all the furnishings of it. All of this is prophetic. It speaks to us today. It brings out redemptive value in it. There's significance in every bit of the tabernacle that we have that can be brought out to us today. I don't think there's really any scripture that is more rich in its meaning or more perfect in its teaching of the redemption plan that was eventually brought to us in the New Testament than that of the tabernacle. You can study the tabernacle and you can see the plan of redemption through it. And you can just keep on studying it. I mean, it's deep. It is deep in meaning, and it's rich, and you can get in it. There's so much that it's foreshadowing, and it's bringing out different elements, and what it's doing is it's bringing us to Jesus Christ. It's showing us Jesus Christ. It's pointing us to, and I talked about this a couple weeks ago about linking the Old Testament, the New Testament, when we looked through the book of Hebrews, and that's what the tabernacle is it's bringing us to Jesus Christ and the plan of redemption that Jesus had for us, because the whole plan was something that was in heaven from the beginning. It was something that was in heaven that was showed to Moses so that he could do it in a physical way here on earth. But then it would be done in a spiritual way through Jesus Christ in the New Testament. So the tabernacle is this perfect, complete foreshadowing, or this prophetic display of Jesus Christ, who he himself was God incarnate. He himself was God come here down to earth. But in the Old Testament, we have God come down to earth. He said, build me a tabernacle. Build me a place that I can dwell with you. A place where God could come and his abiding presence could be there with them. See, the tabernacle, I think it really is one of the greatest ways that we can understand salvation. It is one of the greatest ways that we can look and we can see Jesus just on a cross when we look at the tabernacle. In Hebrews chapter 8, verse 5, we already read it. But I want to point you back to this. It said, the writer says, see, saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern that was showed to you in the mount. That you need to make all things according to the pattern that was showed to you in the mount. This was a pattern that was up in heaven that was showed to Moses so that he would construct this in the way that God was revealing to him. See, I'm going to cover over these next couple of weeks each piece of furniture that was there in the tabernacle. And the first of these is the brazen altar. And there's no way that I can cover in just a couple of weeks. We could go like all year and not cover everything in the tabernacle. We're not going to try to do that. We're not going to do an exhaustive study of the tabernacle. Perhaps we'll pick it back up and look into other details of it at another time. But with this, I want to look at a way of how we can understand and how we can approach God. How is the tabernacle a plan and a blueprint for prayer? A way for us to approach God. How can we today use the tabernacle as a way, as a blueprint for us to get into the presence of God? Was there anybody who when you pray, your desire is to get into the presence of God? You desire to get into a place where you know that God is here. You know that God is not just you speaking to him, but he's speaking to you. And you know that this isn't just shallow, surface level prayer. But it's deep prayer. It's intercession that's taking place. It's soul searching prayer. It's earth shaking prayer. Things that you know when you get in God's presence that you're going to walk out differently. That you walk out with purpose. You walk out knowing that God, when he spoke to you, he chipped off a few things in your life that you were carrying around that was making it hard to get through life. But when you get into the presence of God, you know that there was something different. You know that something changed. Come on, we can have some surface level prayer, but I'm not satisfied with that. I don't want just surface level prayer. I don't want just a little bedtime prayer where I say, Lord, I thank you for the day. God, I pray that you're for your protection on these things. We can do that. But I want to get into the presence of God. I want something to change. I want God, you know, God has given us this avenue to get into his presence. But are we taking that opportunity? Or we've just completely bypassed it? Have we really gotten to a place in our churches today where we're satisfied with living a Christian life just for me to be a better person? Where it's just a set of rules and a set of morality that I will somewhat fulfill. And I'll pray to God whenever I'm in trouble and I need some help. Or are we going to be a church and be a people, or more so, am I going to be the person, because you have to make that choice for yourself, that I'm going to be a vessel of God, and that if God wants to do something supernatural, God wants to do something that is beyond just moving me, but he wants to work through me to affect somebody else's life, work through me to be able to lay my hands on somebody and for them to be healed, for this sick to recover, for God to be able to work through me to see earth-shattering things, to see something like Book of Acts kind of stuff. Book of Acts kind of stuff where God is evident in us. Is that what you want? Because if you want that, it's going to take some actual prayer. It's going to take some interceding. I'm a little off my notes right now, but it's going to take us trying to seek and to get into the presence of God. We need to get serious about prayer. We need to get serious about prayer. See, it is a blueprint for prayer. It teaches us how to approach God. I should say this is a very good teacher of a way to approach God and to get into his presence. Because you can't just walk into the presence of God and start demanding things of him. I think sometimes we take that scripture. Some people take the scripture that is to come boldly before the throne of God, and we think, well, it doesn't matter how I've been living my life. When I get into prayer, I can just start coming in and, you know, like a bull in a china shop and start saying, God, you do this. God, I'm claiming this. I'm doing this. And we start praying all these things. And God's like, hold on a minute. There's a way to approach me. There's a way to get into my presence. There's a way to get my attention. And so he's laid it out for us. He's saying, you can't just come to me all with all these demands and all this force coming in and not come to me the right way. Amen. It is a teacher for us on how to approach God. This tabernacle, it teaches us what to do when we find ourselves in God's presence. How do I react? What do I do when I get into the presence of God? And then it shows us God's attributes and how his blessings are made accessible to his people. This is a teacher for us that when we get into the presence of God, he can show us really what he is capable of doing. This is a good way for us to get into a habit of prayer. See, it's in Luke chapter 18 that Jesus, he told us, it says, Luke chapter 18 verse 1, it says that he spake a parable to them to this end. This isn't the parable, but this is the reason he was teaching the parable. It says that men ought always to pray and not to faint. That men ought always to pray. Now this isn't just addressing men here. ladies. This is people. We ought always to pray. That mandate, it's reinforced by the letter to Thessalonica in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17. Paul, he said, and this is one of those easy, short verses that we all ought to know. Pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. See, when God established His first tabernacle in the wilderness for the children of Israel, this was God's pattern and His purpose for prayer. It was revealed to us of how to get into a habit of prayer. How to get into a habit that it's a pattern for us to approach God. See, there's some other patterns that are in Scripture as well. There's when the disciples, when they asked Jesus, teach us to pray, He taught them the Lord's Prayer. This was a pattern that He was teaching them, Our Father which art in heaven. It's a pattern that He was teaching them. But this is something that we can look at way back in the Old Testament and find a pattern for us that kind of helps us to stay on track. Has anybody ever gotten to a time of prayer and it's like you have ADD all of a sudden? This happens to me all the time. You get into prayer and all of a sudden you start thinking of this and you start thinking of that and thinking of this and then you start praying and then all of a sudden your stomach growled or something and you start thinking of dinner while you're still praying, and your mind's on dinner, your mind's on something else, and yet you're there and you ought to be praying, and so you're bouncing around from thing to thing, and you come away from it. Maybe you felt a move of God, you felt something, but still you leave that kind of scatterbrained. You feel like, well, I hope I accomplished something in that time of prayer. And sometimes it gets a little discouraging when we have this kind of an attitude or we have this approach to prayer because we're like, I don't know how to pray because I just ran out of stuff to say after 3 minutes. I know there's all these things that I need to pray for, but then all of a sudden I was like, God, what is it? And so we just start saying stuff. It's, you know, the repetitive things. And we start thinking of all these other things that get our mind off a track. But I think if we can get a template for prayer, if we can get a pattern for prayer, it can help you to stay on track. And it can help you to begin to pray for things. And it will. I promise you, it will lengthen your time that you spend with God. Because it helps you. It's a guide that can help you to approach God in a certain way. See, in this series, I'm going to try to break down some major aspects of the tabernacle, and we're going to create a pattern for you. It's a pattern I've used in my life, and when I get into a time of prayer, and it's helped me to be more intentional with my prayer and to make sure that I'm approaching God in the right way, and that I'm praying for the things that need to be prayed for. You see, there's something about us and how we need God's presence in our life. We need His presence in our life. You see, if you don't have the Spirit of God in your life, then you don't stand a chance against the pressures of this world. If you don't have His Spirit in you, you don't stand a chance against all the pressures that are coming against you. You can try with all your might and your ability to withstand the addictions that are out there, you know, all these things that are calling your name, all these things that are coming against you, and you can try and you may make it a little while. But without the Spirit of God in your life, you are never going to really be able to navigate your way through life in a way that you are shunning sin, or you're staying away from the pressures of sin. You see, we need to get in a place where we have a regular relationship and a regular time where we are tapping into the presence of God, where we are getting into His presence. We need to have that regular time with God where we are in His presence so that we can have the strength to face the pressures of this world. Because there are pressures of this world that will come against you. And the strength of your temple is going to determine how you respond to the outer response or these outer pressures that are coming against your life. See, God, He designed that first temple so that it would be a portable temple. It would be something that was mobile. It was not Solomon's temple. That wasn't the first temple. It's not 609 Patty Lane here, New Life Tabernacle. That's not the first original design. It was something that was mobile. It was something that would be moved on a regular basis. And they had all these plans for how they would move it. And they were meticulous about moving this. And they all had their own responsibilities for how they would move the tabernacle. But that's because, and that was a looking at us today, that we are the tabernacle. It was foreshadowing of us. And the tabernacle is in you. The New Testament tabernacle is not a building. It's not something that it's here. This is not the temple of God. The temple of God is inside of us. It is living in us. It is something that we need to make sure that we are fortifying this, that we are strengthening this, so that the tabernacle, the temple of God, is able to withstand all the things that are trying to come against it, that are going to fight against it. And we need to make sure that every day we are getting into a place where we are building up and we are strengthening the tabernacle, the temple that we have to house the Holy Ghost. See, it's in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. I love how Paul, he kind of just asked the question first. What? Don't you know? Are you ignorant to this fact? What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and you are not your own? That you today, you are the temple of the Holy Ghost. What they had back there physically in the Old Testament is now inside of you. That God dwells inside of you. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 27, it says that the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. That inside of us today is we are the one inside of us. The spirit of us has the candle of God. It has the spirit of God living inside of us. That we are the one that is housing the Holy Ghost. We are the temple of the Holy Ghost. So we need to be careful not to do anything that would adversely affect those pieces of furniture that are on the inside of the tabernacle. You don't allow anything to come in and begin tearing apart and tarnishing these pieces that are on the inside of the tabernacle. Don't allow any of this to come in and begin to rearrange things or mess things up. See, there is a pattern that was laid out for us that God was very meticulous about. Obviously, when there's 400 verses, 5 books of the Bible, God was meticulous about the tabernacle. He was meticulous about this. And we need to, I believe, look into this because it has some meaning for us today. So following this plan, this pattern for prayer, it's going to help you to end this wandering in the spirit realm. You're not going to wonder if God is hearing your prayers any longer. This is not going to be something where you are wondering, God, did I come out of that prayer session and did we accomplish anything? That's not the design from God. That's not what ought to be happening in our prayer time. But in 1 John chapter 5, it says that this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, then He heareth us. And if we know that He hears us whatsoever we ask, then we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. That we ought to be able to come out of our prayer time knowing that God heard us. We have that confidence that God hears our voice, and we must keep this in our focus as we pray. And if you are going into prayer and you're just bouncing around in your prayer time, or you have this ADD kind of prayer, then you come out of that and you're like, I have no idea if I accomplished anything. But if you can have focus, if you can have a pattern for your prayer time, if you can have a blueprint that is not just something that is from, you know, developed of man, but a blueprint that came from heaven, a blueprint for the tabernacle that was there, and it was brought down to show Moses how to build this, and it is here for us today to glean the blueprint for us to come and approach the presence of God. This can help us to keep our focus as we go into prayer. See, I'm seeking after the counsel and the will of God, not my counsel, not my will. It says in Isaiah chapter 55, verse 11, it says, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. That is what I want. I want, when God is speaking through me, when God is speaking to me, I want it to accomplish its task that it was set out to do. I want, when God is speaking, for His words to never come and to return unto Him void. But if we go into prayer and we're there and we're aimlessly wandering about, and we don't even give Him a chance to speak, well, that's a big problem that we have sometimes. We go to prayer and we talk, and we never listen. It's a one-way conversation. It's a one-way conversation, and God's up there trying. He's just waiting for an opportunity. I want to speak to you. I'm ready. And we just keep on saying, God, this and this and this, and we keep on talking, and we never listen. But God's saying, I want my word to come down to you, and I want it to accomplish something, but if you don't stop talking, I can't speak my word to you. And so we get a habit of prayer. We get a pattern for us for prayer that can help us to get into times and get into a regular pattern where we have times where it's set apart in our prayer life, where it's all right, God, I'm ready for you. God, I need you to speak to me now. God, I'm listening to you. And we're gonna go through these times in prayer and how we can approach God in these different ways. And so there's going to be times where it's not just you speaking, but it's times to listen. It's time to allow God to speak to you, to begin to accomplish what it is set out to do, for God to be able to accomplish something in us. Amen. Could you put that pattern of the tabernacle up on the screen for me? The cross in the tabernacle. The cross in the tabernacle. So you notice there it's in the shape of the cross, and that's not the exact shape of the tabernacle. You have up in that very top part that is the holiest place. There's a room that was up there, and then you have the three articles of furniture that are there, that those are the in the holy place, and then the other two articles of furniture, that those sit in the outer court area of the tabernacle. And so we have these, and it's in the shape of a cross that leads us back to the cross. The first thing that you notice in the pattern, the first thing that you will come to, is the brazen altar. It's there. It's at the feet of the cross. It's at the feet of where Jesus would have been nailed. And this is the first thing that we encounter. It's the first thing that we approach. And then the next place that we come to is the laver of water. And you'll see that's there, the posts that are there. And you'll enter into the holy place, and you have the things in the holy place. And then you get up to the head, where you have the holiest of holies, or the holiest place. And that's where we get into the house of the Ark of the Covenant and the mercy seat of God. So the first thing that you came to was that brazen altar, and we're going to cover this next week, the brazen altar. the brazen altar, we're going to just like do really quick insights into each of these things. And then later throughout the series, we will really look into them. But the brazen altar, what I want you to know about that, what is probably the most important, is this is a place of death. This is a place of dying. This is a place of sacrifice that they come to, and they would bring the sacrifices to the brazen altar. And they would kill that sacrifice there. It was a gory place. It was a dirty place, a place where it was stunk. It was not a pleasant place to be in, because it was a place of death and a place of dying. But also, if you were to look at these articles of furniture, you would notice that the brazen altar was the largest of any of them. It was larger than the brazen laver. It was larger than the golden candlesticks. It was larger in dimension than the altar of incense and the table of showbread. It was even larger than the Ark of the Covenant. You could set the Ark of the Covenant inside the brazen altar. There's something that we can learn from that. There's something that's drawing us to a place of repentance and a place of suffering from our death of our flesh. We need to die to our flesh. It's not just a little bit. It's not just a little bit of my flesh ought to die here, but it's the biggest thing. And you cannot get into a powerful presence of God unless you have first died to your flesh. Unless you first say, God, kill any of this flesh in me that would stop me from getting your presence. God, if there's anything in me that is stopping me and hindering me, God, remove it. Get it out of the way. God, I don't need it anymore. God, I just want all of you. God, I want as much of you as I can experience. But I need to first get into a place where I'm killing my flesh. And I'm not talking about a literal killing of our body flesh, but our fleshly lusts and our fleshly desires, and even the things that are you think they aren't even hurting you at all. The things that you're entertained by, the things that you look at and you say, well, what's so bad at that? But all of a sudden you get in prayer and God starts speaking to you and He says, hey, I want you to give that up. It's taking too much time away from me. It's taking your mind off of me too much. It's not allowing you to think about your neighbor. He said, well, the greatest commandment is to love me. Second greatest commandment is to love your neighbor. You give that up because it's going to help you to love your neighbor more. You give this up. Come on, it's things that'll lead you to it when you spend some time at the brazen altar. I mean, I'm spending too much time there. We're gonna go on. We're going to get into that next week. The next thing that we will approach, is the brazen laver. And the brazen laver is a place of washing. It's a place where we come to, and it will purge us. It will wash us clean. And this is something that when we get to it, the priests, they were the ones who would come, and they were the ones who offered upon the brazen laver, and then they had to wash themselves before they entered into the holy place. They washed themselves clean. They made sure that all the blood, all the stuff that had gotten on them from the gory place is now washing off of them. And so we come in Exodus chapter 30. The Lord, He spoke to Moses. He said, thou shalt also make a laver of brass, and his foot also of brass to wash withal. And thou shalt put it between the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar. And you shall put water therein, for Aaron and his sons shall wash their hands and their feet thereat. When they go into the tabernacle of the congregation, they shall wash with water that they die not. Whew, that's powerful. Wash so that you do not die. You need a wash so you do not die. Or when they come near to the altar to minister, to burn offering made by fire unto the Lord. So they shall wash their hands and their feet, that they die not, and it shall be a statute forever to them, even to him and to his seed throughout their generations. Amen. We see Aaron was this, in his sons, this priesthood was a foreshadowing of an even greater priesthood of Jesus Christ, and how Jesus Christ came and he washed us clean. How when he died on a cross, he washed us clean with his blood. It washed us in our sins so that we could have come to his presence clean because of what he did on the cross. Because he washed there. It's in Revelation 1, chapter 4, says John to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be to you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Come on, that's Jesus Christ. He washed us from our sins in his own blood, and he has made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. We must wash before we die. We must wash lest we die. We must wash. I'm going to talk to you about coming to a brazen laver so that we can wash ourselves. And it says in Ephesians chapter 5 that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. How do you get something that is without spot, without wrinkle, and without blemish? You do it by washing in the blood of Jesus Christ. You can only come and be presented to him blameless if you have done it by getting washed by what he has done. Not by the works of righteousness, this is in Titus, which we have done. You don't do it by your works of righteousness. You can't do it. You can't wash yourself by yourself. But it's by him, according to his mercy, that he saved us. By the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. So we're going to learn to get washed by his word. We're going to learn to get washed by the word of God. This right here will wash you. It will clean you. It will speak to you, and it will bring out things in your life that you didn't even realize were harming you. It will bring out things. If you begin to get into the word of God and you spend time in this word, it will bring out things into your life that you didn't even know were causing you harm, and it will begin to wash you out. His word will speak to you. It's alive. So we come to the brazen laver and we wash. Amen. The seven golden candlesticks, when we get into the holy place, and before we even get there, we come and there are five posts that we enter, that we approach as we enter into the holy place. And I don't have these on our handout, but there are five posts that are there in the they were described in the building of the tabernacle. They're covered in the, they're there with the veil or the covering that comes into the tabernacle. And the five posts, we're going to talk about those. There is a way that I love this revelation, or this way that G.A. Mangan prayed with those five posts. He prayed the five things that are brought out to us about Jesus Christ, and he is our wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. And we're going to learn to pray those things, those ways into God, as he is wonderful and he is our counselor. We're going to pray for him to be our counselor every day, for him to be the counselor for other people, for God to be that everlasting father to somebody who needs his helping hand, his guiding hand, and him to be their father. We're going to pray for him to be that Prince of Peace in our life. Amen. We're going to pray these things as we approach into the holy place. And then we get into the seven golden candlesticks where God will light light up your life, where God will come into our life and begins illuminating things in us, and He will begin to show us what His will is for our life. And then we get to the table of showbread, and the table of showbread is where we get and we begin to pray for the missionaries. We pray for those who are bearing the Word of God, those who are up or holding up the Word of God. And I know we're going through this quickly, but that's because we're going to go into these in more detail later. But the table of showbread, we will pray for those who minister the Word of God and those who are bringing this Word all across the world. And perhaps you'll even pray for those in Europe and those in Asia and those in Africa, those who are trying to get into the unreached places of this world. It's a time where we can pray for them. And then the altar of incense. The altar of incense is a place where we give God praise. It's a place where the incense, the worship, was going up to God continually. And we praise God. We take some time to give God praise in our prayer. Amen. There's something powerful about stopping for a minute and just giving God praise. Just giving God praise. And then we come in and we can finally enter into the holiest place. The holiest place, it really has two articles of furniture in there. Some would say one. Amen. But I would say that you have two. You have the mercy seat and the Ark of the Covenant. The mercy seat, which sits upon the Ark of the Covenant. And this here, I won't speak on this too much tonight, but when you get in there, it is where you get into the abiding presence of God. You get into a place where it's just overwhelming. It's powerful, and God begins moving in your life, and He begins speaking to you. And you know when you get to that place in prayer, God, it changes your life. Changes your life. But you can't just march right into the holiest place. You can't just march right in there without having died to your flesh, without having given God some praise, without having washed yourself, without having God, without approaching Him in a manner that would be suitable for Him to receive you into His presence. We need to find a pattern for prayer. Amen. In church, I believe that we are called into this time of prayer right now, that we ought to find a way that we can approach God in a way that we are not just scatterbrained coming into a time of prayer, but that instead we are intentional about getting into the presence of God. Amen. Inside that Ark of the Covenant, you have the tables of the two testaments, the Ten Commandments that were there. We begin to have the commandments of God begin really getting imprinted in our life, really begin to get imprinted in our hearts when we get into the presence of God. He really can speak to you about what He is calling you to. And then you have the rod of authority that's housed inside of that Ark of the Covenant. And there is some authority that you can get when you spend some time in the presence of God. There's authority that you'll have that you've never had otherwise, that you've never experienced before. There is authority that you can get when you get into the presence of God, that God, He can then hand some things over to you to begin praying in such a way that you have authority over the dominions and the powers that be of this world. You can have authority. Amen. Let us, if we could, just stand here tonight. We're just going to end this in conclusion tonight. This is kind of just a summary of what we are getting into, or what we want to approach. But I want to just look at tonight the importance of a having a pattern of prayer, having a way that we approach God. We don't just come in all willy-nilly just trying to get into the presence of God, but we need to get in this and be intentional about it. Amen. Let us just lift up our hands here tonight. Jesus. God, I believe, God, that what we are doing right now, God, is in Your will. God, I pray that You would speak to us through this. God, I pray that tonight, Lord, that this would be the beginning of something, Lord, that as we get on our hands and our knees, God, that we would approach you, Lord, in such a way, Lord, that we are seeking your voice. God, that we are not just trying to speak, Lord, all that we have to say to you, but Lord, we would stop and that we would listen for you, God, that we would, Lord, approach you in such a way, God, that you have laid out for us, God, a pattern that came from heaven. God, a pattern that is showed to us today, God, and that we can approach you in this way. Lord, I pray that you would help us here tonight, God, to find a place of prayer. God, help us, Lord, here tonight in this church. God, we could change, Lord, where this church is going. God, change the direction. God, change the things, God, that we are encountering, God, so that we can begin encountering things, God, that are having a tremendous effect, God, on this community. God, and on the strongholds of our families. God, that we would be able to break the bondages, God, that have us held down so hard. God, that you would, Lord Jesus, help us. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. God, we praise you. We lift you up. In Jesus' precious name. Amen, amen. Could somebody just give God some praise? I know we may not have any music in here right now, but let's just give God some praise. Hallelujah. Lord, I love you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Amen. I'm looking forward to all that God is doing. Amen. Looking forward to this weekend's services. We have two that are planning on being baptized on Sunday. I'm looking forward to that. Amen. That's right. Let's give God some praise. Amen. Sister Robin, who has been coming with Sherry, she is her and her husband, who had been down in Florida. And he flew up this week and is now up here, and they are planning on being baptized on Sunday. We are looking forward to that. Amen. So be here. Be here for prayer on Saturday, 7 o'clock, and then again for services on Sunday. Amen. We do not have all the refreshments, but we do have some coffee out there if you just want to stick around after service tonight and just fellowship. Amen. God bless you. We will see you on Saturday night.